when you define somebody and create a man of God, a lady of God out of them. You need to make up your mind in the next few minutes of your life, and that's all you've got. Every week is 5 days long instead of seven now. Every other day is Sunday. You notice how fast times are going? You don't have much time to build what Paul is going to do right here. We're going to look at this for a week, all right? Look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, listen, ladies, listen, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Did you see what God said there? Grandma had it, Mama's got it, and they give it to you. You women folk have a massive responsibility to get God on the young'uns. I don't care how young the babies are. I believe Jochebed started right early with Moses.
Amen.
Right early. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying, Mama, there's an importance put on you to build your kid into a person of God. It ain't just Daddy's deal. Daddy's important, but I'm telling you, Mama, you got that young'un way longer than we do. We get up in the morning to go to work. We come home at night, we're exhausted. We want to eat supper, sit down, and just not think. That's what men want to do. We're tired. But 24/7, you girls have got the children. Take that to heart. I want to look this week at Paul to Timothy. Take the Word of God and show you how Paul made a man of God out of Timothy, if God will let me do that. You pray for me, okay? Heavenly Father, I want to pray one more time, please. And I want to thank you for the privilege to be here on Mother's Day with Brother Fenton and the church. And not only here, my Father, but all over. My preacher in Virginia, my preacher brethren everywhere, Lord, are bringing message today. I pray for everybody in the congregations, Lord, to have their hearts opened to the Word of God. Father, I pray that there'll be a spirit of repentance, a spirit of yearning to be clean before God to fall upon the church. I pray for that cloud and that mist that's over the church, Lord, of the lack of interest and the unfaithfulness to go away. I pray that the breeze of God would blow, Father, that mist away. That, Lord, again, there'll be a great interest in the things of the Lord and a great faithfulness fall upon the people of God. Lord, I'm asking you to save the lost that's in this room this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, to do a mighty work that none of us can do. Lord, we can't convict these people. Lord, we can only present the truth, and you've got to do the rest of it. So, Father, here we are working together to get these dear sinners saved and the saints instructed, and I pray that you'll just help us now. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen, my Father. Amen. You may be seated, family. Paul is endeavoring in the first seven verses there to just tell Timothy these words. You ready for this? I'm going to paraphrase seven verses for you. I love you, son. That's what Paul's saying to that boy right there. His beloved son, if you will. In 1 Timothy, said he's his son in the faith. Now, here's a saved man. Timothy. Here's a man now that's got born again by the grace of God. And now here is an old soldier of the Lord, taking him under wing, if you will, and is endeavoring to, what they call, mentoring him or training him or endeavoring to instruct him in the ways of God. Every young Christian needs a daddy like Paul. I don't care who it is. I don't care which one of you older men of God it is. You need to grab these youngins and just do something. I'm going to deal with what I'm getting with it. I'm going to deal with most of it tonight for the sake of time this morning. But I want you to understand something. You need to pick out somebody. You need to find you a Timothy someplace. His name might be Jack. His name might be John. Who knows what his name is? And you need to make up your mind, I'm going to make something out of this boy. Now, it's going to be work, which makes us all run the other way. It's going to take time, which none of us have any of. It might take some sacrifice, which many are not willing to do. But you're going to have to do it if you're going to create anything that will last. Gang, listen to me. We have talked to them, witnessed to them, tracked them, prayed over them, listened to them as they prayed, and then we have dumped them in our day. Every church I know ought to be twice the size that it is. I don't care what church it is. If it's a five-people church, me and Mama are in a lot of little five- and ten-people churches. A lot of them. And the support that we get helps us go to the little small churches that don't have any money and preach to them the same way we preach to any other church around us. But it don't matter whether it's a five-people church or a 50-people church or a 100-people church or even some of the super-new boys that's got thousands and thousands. Every church ought to be twice as big as it is. Because everybody in there ought to be hunting for a Timothy to deal with and to raise up and to learn and to get a hold of. There's some factors, and I'll not cover it these days when we're together. I'll not cover it all. But in these two books of Timothy right here that Paul wrote to this young man, there's a whole lot of things that he emphasized in here that would stabilize Timothy. We are living in a very unstable world right now. I mean, politically unstable, you know, it's going great financially right now, but God have mercy on whoever gets to the White House next. If the third party messes us up in 2020, you better buckle up. What are you saying, preacher? We're in an unstable world. Our people are getting more double-minded all the time. There's a mist. Listen, Mama and I have been from Louisiana to Florida to up here now. And that mist is everywhere we see. There are folks in our churches that are just getting darker and lack of interest now, and they just don't care whether they come or they don't come, and they just don't serve or they don't serve the will or they don't, and they just don't want to get around. And they used to be, if you will please, they used to be somebody that was kind of anxious about church and enjoyed church, and now they're, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes late for Sunday school and don't come at all on Sunday nights. And what do you say? I'm just trying to get you to understand something, gang. We're in the Laodicean church age, and she's just about over for us. Now, you're going to back into heaven unfaithful to God, or you're going to walk in proud and praising the Lord? You're going in. Say, folks, you're going to heaven when you die. So why not go in right? Why go in sad sack? Why go in misfitting? Why go in unfaithful? Why go in there and have God give your mansion over next to Lot? Who wants to live next to that dude? Forever live next to Lot. Can you imagine? You say, preacher, I ain't going to do that. Well, not unless you shape up. You might get to, I'm telling you. That development over there next to Lot ain't real good. There's a lot of folks that God's put over there next to Lot because they give out and faltered out and quit out and give out on God Almighty. Paul was going to make sure that this boy didn't do that. So he put some things in him, and we're going to deal with one of them right now, just as fast as God will let me, all right? Just stay tight, all right? Listen, if I preach at 12:30, the restaurants are already full. Every mother's already there. All the youngins took mommy to the restaurant today, so you won't get to eat till 2:30 anyhow, so don't worry about it. You should have brought a bologna sandwich, all right? I'm telling you. Look at verse 8. Let me give you the first one. Paul to Timothy. Because I love you, son. Because I want the grace of God on you all the time. Because I remember you constantly in my prayers. Because I remember the faith that grandma had and your mama had. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now, dear family, listen to me. In order for him to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, he had to have some substance about him. You know, it's harder to crush a full chocolate rabbit. A hollow chocolate rabbit's easy to crush. It's hard to crush a full child of God, but it's easy to crush a hollow child of God. And you and I know that we need substance. We need filled with something. Are you listening to me? From God Almighty. And so Paul is telling Timothy, first off in our series this week, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Now, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to understand tonight, today, that you may not mean to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, where you work, where you play, where you shop, where you do, whatever, but it just sometimes just slips up on you. And sometimes you're ashamed of your church. And sometimes you're ashamed of your pastor. And sometimes you're ashamed of your brethren. You say, preacher, not me. Now listen, we're going to get out of the world of denial this week, okay? Amen. This is reality week, okay? God, you're talking straight to me. Lord, you're right, all right? There are times when I am ashamed, Lord, of the testimony of Jesus Christ. I understand that, Lord, but how do I fix it? Right. Right. Not, Lord, well, I'm human and I can't help it, and I guess that's all it's going to be the rest of my life. You need to get out of that philosophy. Right. Now, there are men everywhere that's preaching that junk. You know, it sounded like that knucklehead was in the White House before. You know, well, this is how America's going to be forever. Well, Trump proved different than that, didn't he? Amen. Well, it's the same way in the Church of the Living God. Again, there are men that are preaching that this is the best it's going to be for you, so just get used to it. I don't believe that. I believe a child of God, saved, born again, blood-bought child of God, can do anything God Almighty tells him to do from the Word of God. I believe you and I can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe the path of the just shineth brighter and brighter under the perfect day. I believe God's people can get better. I believe God's people can get holy. I believe God's people can get right. I believe God's people can get forgiveness for their worldliness. I believe God's people can go to heaven, gain the rewards, and not lose it. Now, what do you want to believe? You believe anything you want to. But, gang, there are times in our lives, gang, when we are ashamed of God Almighty. We are ashamed to be God's people. How you know that? Well, look at the way we dress on a normal day. Look at the way we talk on a normal day. A normal day is a day out of church, okay? Look at the way we talk. Look at the way we look. Look at the way we act. Look at the way we think. On odd days. Not Sunday and Wednesday. Sunday and Wednesday, we're prim and proper. Sunday and Wednesday, boy, we got it all down. We carry our Bibles, we're God-fearing saints. But on Tuesday afternoon, when everything falls apart, instead of going back to God and running back to God and leaning on God, what we do is we get ashamed of our God and we just excuse it or justify our worldliness. And we say to God, well, Lord, I'm just in the flesh and I can't help it. And then the Holy Ghost says, they that are in the spirit are not in the flesh.
Right.
Amen. You know the reason you're the way you are?
Yeah.
Why? Because you're not in the spirit right now, you're in the flesh.
Right.
And you're not supposed to be in the flesh. You're supposed to be in the spirit. I am supposed to guide you on Tuesday afternoon the same as I do on Sunday. I am supposed to help you. Now, why are you ashamed of me? And we say, Lord, I'm not ashamed of you. I love you, and I prefer you over everybody else in all the world, Lord. But yet our actions don't say that. Come on, my family. The way we look don't say that. Can we spot each other in Walmart without looking at our face? Can we tell there's something different about that one right there? Something different about this one right here? You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this is shamed as it's an embarrassment of cause of conduct. Is my conduct and your conduct a shame? Are we ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and those who are Christian around us, like Paul was to Timothy? He told Timothy, he said, son, you're going to have to be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, and in order to do that, you're going to have to not be ashamed of God or me. If you are embarrassed by conduct, you're not going to make it through the affliction. If you and I are ashamed of our God because of the afflictions that might come our way, then we have no clue. We have not been persecuted like our forefathers have been persecuted. And yet, my dear family, I fear that we're not strong enough to take it. I fear that, my love. I'm telling you, across the board I'm talking about. Not just you and your people here. I'm talking about across the board. I'm afeared that a lot of God's people can't take any more pressure. Listen, do you understand that because of God's good rain, there's no forest fires in New York? Do you know it's because of God's good rain you don't have to wash your car this week? Come on now. You ain't going to waste no gasoline mowing yard. But what are we doing? We're fussing because it's raining again. It's raining again. It's raining again. It's raining again. Just common stuff like that. So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed. Go to Psalm 25. Go to Psalm 25. Let's look at a few thoughts over here about being ashamed. And let's see if any of us... Now, this is what I want you to do this week. Would you obey God this week? Can I get your loved ones to obey God? I know you want to. What I want you to do is this. When the Holy Ghost puts His finger on you, don't sit there and wait on Mama to come sing the invitation. Alright? Mama sings my invitation all the time, right? Why? Because that lets everybody who needs to come to the altar if that needs to happen. Okay? That's why we do that. Alright? Besides that, she's a great singer. Amen. Alright? But I want you to move, all right? When the Holy Ghost gives you an invitation, I want you to move. Don't wait on my invitation. Respond to His invitation. Psalm 25, 1 through 3, God's Bible says these words. Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Look at verse 3 real close. Yea, let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without a cause. Verse 3 again. Let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let none that serve You be ashamed. Let none that are occupying till You come be ashamed. Let them that transgress without a cause be ashamed. Let that crowd that's not doing what You're telling them to do be ashamed. But don't let us that serve You be ashamed. Amen. Let me ask you something. When we preach on serving God, does it kind of put a little guilt in your heart because you ain't? So, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, my dear family, a lot of times people say, I ain't going to have that Hardman guy come up here because I know what he's going to preach on. He's going to preach on living for God. That's all he ever preaches on. Living for God, living for God, living for God. Well, I believe Christians do that. Amen. I believe Christians live for God. We make our mistakes. We stub our toes every once in a while, but we don't lay there and hold our toe for 6 or 7 or 10 years. We get right back up and hobble right along with Jesus. Amen. But my family, the psalmist is asking right there. He said, listen, Lord, I want you to do me a favor. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let none that wait on thee be guilty. Let me ask you something, love. Do you serve God? And there's many, many ways. It didn't just say preaching and teaching and all that. There's many ways to serve God. Being faithful to Him is serving God. We got a family around here who's got a new baby in the house, right? Little Gracie Mae, right? When is she born? Little Gracie Mae, right? But there's other all kind of little children all around this place. I thank God for church that's got youth in it. Praise the Lord. Somebody better be here when us old codgers die off. Praise God. But I'm going to ask you something, right? Do you realize raising a baby for Jesus Christ is serving God? Amen. Do you realize packing that infant? Listen, there's a little itsy bitsy right there, huh? Packing that little bit. No, you should preach it. He don't understand. You don't know that. Do you ever watch a baby laying on its back looking up at Jesus and smiling? Come on, you say, what are you talking about? You don't know that Him and God ain't talking together. God's got a language that babies understand. Are you listening to me? And they can understand yours too. Do you know I love you? And they're just grinning at you. They don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. You know Jesus loved you more than I do? Do you know Jesus died on the cross? Listen, you pound one and one is two into a baby's head until they turn green. Why won't you pound Jesus loves you? You better get saved one day into that baby's head. Don't be ashamed to serve God. See, preacher, I ain't got a ministry. Oh, really? Do you got a husband? Do you got a wife? Do you got a kid? Do you got a job? Do you got a neighbor? Do you got a town? Do you got a ministry? Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed to serve God. Don't be ashamed to do what God wants you to do day in and day out. Look with me, please, in Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I'm talking about Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the Lord or me. Psalm 119, this is what God's Bible say. We grab it up in verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Look at verse 6 with me. Then, oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. When I have respect unto all Thy commandments. Don't be ashamed to obey the God's Bible. Why? Listen, God Almighty in 1 Peter 3 told us to sanctify the Lord God in your heart. And be always ready to give an answer. That's what He said, 1 Peter 3. Why is it, my dear family, that somebody comes up and says, I want to know something. What do you want to know? Why do you live like that? Why you look like that? Why you do that? Well, it's just me. Oh, really? Well, that's, No. Listen, I believe God. I'm a saved, born-again, blood-bought child of God, and I read God's Bible. And in God's Bible, this is how God tells me to live. God says, be holy, because He's holy. And I'm just trying to live holy, and act holy, and talk holy, and be holy. And the reason that I am the way I am is because I have respect for the Word of God. And the Word of God is my guide and my direction. And I read a lot of the Pauline epistles because he preached on how to live for God in a Christian life. And I read the Bible and the Proverbs. I get my wisdom. And I tell you what, the Word of God has just been a blessing to me. It has changed my life. Instead of just trying to come up with some harebrained idea on why you're the way you are. Why do you go to that church? Well, I like the singing over there. Well, they have a lot of activities over there. They got a parking lot that's paved. I don't have to walk in the mud. Why don't you tell them the truth? I go to that church because that church preaches the Bible. They're endeavoring to live the Bible. That guy, that outfit over there loves one another like God's commandment says to love God and love each other. And that church does that. And the reason I'm there is because the Bible of the living God has blessed me and helped me, and they preach that book.
Yeah. Amen.
Why are we ashamed to obey our God from the Word of God? What has happened to us that we get guilty when a heathen asks us why we're following the Scripture? Why do we feel guilty about following the Scripture? Why do we feel uncomfortable? Why do we get embarrassed about the book? You stinking Bible-thumping King James people. Yes, thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. You know this other book. I see, yeah, there's lots of other books. But it does not have the power that the real Bible has.
Amen.
It does not have the revival history that the real Bible has.
Amen.
Yeah, but this is easier for me to understand. Okay, good. What did you read this morning? I think it was chapter 2. Good. What did it say? Come on, it's so good for you to understand that other thing. What did it say to you? What did it do for your spirituality? Well, well, let me tell you what my Bible did for my spirituality today. I was reading today, and it don't matter where you was reading. There ought to be a stick when that Bible comes in your mind and heart. There ought to be something that sticks in your mind and ought to get there, and you ought to be able to recall it. You got to beg God. I do. I said, Lord, I need some recall help, Lord. I need to remember, Lord, what I said and what I read this morning, God. Now listen to me, gang. All of us have too many irons in the fire. All right, we got work, we got family, we got this, we got troubles, we got church, we got this, we got everything going and going. And, oh, Lord, I need to know what it is I read. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying don't be ashamed of the Lord or His soldier. Timothy, if you're going to be through the afflictions of the gospel in this day and age, and Timothy, I want you to understand something. Now, it ain't written there, but it's there, all right. We'll get a hold of it, and I'll deal with it later on. But I'm just telling you point blank, Timothy was living in a very, very, very dangerous age. Persecution was skyrocketing. And Paul was going to build a man of God out of a boy. Now, he was an adult, don't give him a young adult, but I'm just telling you point blank. Paul endeavored to build a man of God out of that youngin. Listen, ain't no unsaved person knows what that book says or means. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. But a saved man can start to learn and grow and do. But they need help doing that. Timothy did not know what strengths he would need when it got tough.
Right.
So Paul took him under wing, and I could just see the old man of God now looking down in that boy's eyes and said, son, don't be ashamed of God. Don't be ashamed of serving God. And don't be ashamed of the Word of God. And Timothy said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You're right. I won't be ashamed of that. I won't be embarrassed by that. I won't be embarrassed by my God. I'll stand for my God. I won't be embarrassed by my mentor. I love you, Pastor Paul. I won't be embarrassed by the Word of God. I care. Matter of fact, it was great victory and great honor in my heart. I will not be embarrassed about serving my God. When everybody else won't serve God, I'll still be serving God, Timothy would cry out. He was not ashamed. Paul was trying to make sure that he would not be ashamed. Look at Luke 9. Look at Luke 9. Stay with me now. Luke chapter 9. This is what God's Bible says about this ashamed business. Luke chapter 9. You said, preacher, I'm ashamed. Why are you still sitting there then? If the Holy Ghost of God has put shame on you because you're embarrassed about God or one of us or the Bible, you need to move. You need to come on these altars and say, God, I'm wrong. I shouldn't be ashamed of our church. I shouldn't be ashamed of our preacher. I shouldn't be ashamed of the way we live. But yet, my dear family, sometimes we just That's crazy how it happens. Luke chapter 9. I want you to realize, my dear family, that we're living in a wonderful day. I want you to think about this a minute. Look at verse 22 and following, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day." And he said unto them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" Now look at our 26th verse real close. Jesus is talking to the group there and he says, "Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. You know what our shame does? It puts an avenue for Christ to be ashamed when we face him. How can I explain this properly? Help me, Lord. I mean, you all do know you're going to face Christ, don't you?
Amen.
The Father's put all judgment on the Savior. On Jesus, all judgment. Is it not Romans that says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess? That He's Lord. So let's take a journey. Let's leave Seneca Falls and go to the judgment seat of Christ. And we're standing there before Him who suffered, bled, and died and rose again to save us from the present sin and the future wrath. This world's going under the wrath of God. It ain't gonna be long. They're going under the wrath of God. We have been born again, saved from the wrath to come. And we've also been saved from the sin of the present. Let me give it to you in plain, simple, down-home, hillbilly terms. Ready? We don't have to sin.
Amen.
We do, but we don't have to. There is someone now who lives inside of us that stops us when we start thinking about it.
Right. Yeah.
And we push through Him. Then He stops us as we approach it. And we push through Him.
Yeah.
Gang, listen, do you understand this? This is nuts, but you understand this? You've got to almost force yourself into it to sin against God when you're bowing up against the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Preacher, it's easy to sin. Really? Think a minute. It's easy to sin. You know what I'd do if I thought like that? I'd get saved. Preacher, it's my old nature. Don't give me that junk. Preacher, it's my old nature. It's my old nature. Ho, ho, ho! You got a new nature when you got saved by the grace of God, who is way more powerful than your old nature. You ain't got no excuse for your sinning.
Amen.
You're not allowed to sin, child of God.
Amen.
You're not allowed to rebel against the Holy Ghost. Come on, stay with me. You ain't allowed to be unfaithful to God Almighty. Love y'all's pride. Come on, my love. You're not allowed to disobey your father. You're not allowed to disobey your elder brother. You're not allowed to disobey the Holy One that lives inside of you. You're not allowed to do that. It is not allowed. You've got to force yourself to do it. You think it's easy because the devil's got you deceived. It is not easy for a child of God to sin at all. What's the verse say again? They that are led of the Spirit. Well, preacher, I just got in the flesh and I couldn't help it. No, you didn't just get in the flesh. You deliberately disobeyed the Holy Ghost. Do you honestly think He's that blind and deaf and mute? That He didn't say something when you're, you know, that thought. Everybody has thoughts, and thoughts go through your head. Them yesterday thoughts, them before salvation thoughts go through your head. And then you looked at them again, and then you... But then you couldn't get shed them. You didn't dismiss them. You didn't Philippians for them.
Amen.
Think on these things. You just... And if a man thinketh in his heart... Come on, listen to me. Come on, quit. In order to sin, you've got to submit to it. What? You have to submit to sin. To sin. It's easy. No. Sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
What are you saying? I'm saying you're simply submitting. To whom you yield yourselves to obey, to him you will obey.
Right.
Romans.
Amen.
Where do you get all that? Out of the same Bible you're supposed to be reading. What have we gotten ashamed of? We've gotten ashamed of our Lord. We've gotten ashamed of those who are mentoring us and teaching us and showing us. Listen, my dear family, please listen to me closely. Please don't think I'm against you. I am for you all the way. But if your life is different when you hit the doors out there than it is in here, you're in trouble. You're not living right. Come on, my family. You're not right with God if you're trying to live two lives. That's why you're so confused about what's going on. And the life you're living out there shows an ashamedness of the God. You're ashamed of God. In here, we're all happy and love Jesus. But when we get out there where the true testing is going on, are we ashamed of our Lord and His church and His people and His brother? Or are we just a standing victorious child of the living God out in a world that hates you? Are we a light in a dark world or ain't we? My dear family, please don't think ill of me, but I'm just trying to get you to understand something. We have been fed a bill of goods. You ain't never going to get better. Hogwash, I ain't. My love, listen to me. The second I got saved in 1977, June 20, 1977, 8:07 that night, okay, 8:05 that night, I got born again, saved by the grace of God. From that second on, I was not the same as I was a second before that time hit. I was not the same as I was an hour before that time hit. I was not the same as I was a day, a week, a year, a month. No, I was not the same. The second I got saved by the grace of God, I became a new creature. I belong to God now. I belong in the kingdom of God now. I belong with the family of God now. There is a difference in a child of God than there is in a worldling that puts on a Christian coat on Sunday and Wednesday. There's a difference in us. I am not ashamed of the gospel, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed to be called a child of God. Not ashamed to be called a Christian. Not ashamed to live a different life. Then listen to me. This life is way far better than the drunkard's life I lived before I found God.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to get up in the morning and have my own head.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to know where the money went. What a blessing it is to get up and say, Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for the name of the Lord. Instead of waking up and saying, oh no, God.
Come on.
Praise God for a good life Jesus gave us.
Amen.
Preacher, I'm going through misery by the mile. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're in the hand of God, John said. And as you're going through life, you're in the blessings of your blessed Savior. Don't be ashamed of that. How do you make it through that? By the grace of God. Amen. How did you go through that? By the grace of God. How did you survive all that? By the grace of God. Why are you in such good spirits? Because no matter what's going on, I'm in the will of God. I'm heaven bound when I die. I'm born again by the grace of God. By the blood of Jesus washed away all my sin. I am eternally saved. Hallelujah. Amen. And they look at you like you're out of your mind. Yeah. Why are you happy? I had a good dinner. Why are you happy? I just found out all my bills have been paid. No. I'm happy because I found out one day I was saved by the grace of the living God. Amen. Timothy, yes, Paul, don't you be ashamed of the Lord or me, because you're going to go through the afflictions of the gospel, and you need not be ashamed of it, son. It's a great war. I want you to look, will you, but please, let me just give you another one or two and I'll be done. I want to send you to the house. Philippians 1. Philippians 1. Look at Philippians 1 with me. I'll talk about being ashamed. Be not ashamed of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. Look with me, please, if you will. I'll get there in a minute myself. Philippians chapter 1. Let's grab it up, if we may, in verse 13 and following. You ready to listen to it? Listen to it. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And many of the brethren, are you there with me looking at it? Come on, talk to me. Amen. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Then the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now look at 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, and we had a young'un last night pray for boldness, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So, preacher, you're saying the same thing over and over again this morning. Exactly right. Timothy, yes, sir. Don't be ashamed on how you live. On visitation, have you ever walked up in the summertime? Now, since AC, this don't happen much, but in the old days, we didn't have AC. In the old days, we didn't even lock the door. In the old days, we didn't even shut the door at night. And you can walk up on any porch and look through the screen and see what's going on in the house. You ever done that in the old days? Some of you ain't old enough to even know what the old days are. But we used to be able to walk up on the porch. In fact, you could hear them from the mailbox. What they was doing. And you bang on the door or the screen door. You know how them old screen doors were. They had a little hook latch on it. And you bang on the screen door. Boy, they'd all just, who's there? And they'd flip just like that. All of a sudden, they're just sweet. Oh, hello, brother. How you doing? You just spent 60 steps listening to them fight. And they flip as soon as you knock on the door. Now, because of AC, nobody opens the doors anymore. And so you don't get to hear none of that good stuff. But it's in there. I've walked up many times in the old days, and especially West Virginia, and I'd hear them fussing clean from the road. And I'd bang on the door, and boy, they just turn. I said, keep fighting. It's all right. Keep on fighting. And don't stop fighting just because I'm here. Come on, get it all over with. Get it all off your chest. Get all cleaned up. Get all fixed up. It'd be all right. Go ahead. Keep cussing at her. Keep fussing at her. It's fine. Oh, preacher. I said, why are you embarrassed? Why are you ashamed? You don't think God was listening. I walked around the corner of the house. I told you this before. I walked around the corner of the house. The guy stuck a cigarette down his pants pocket. Trying to blow smoke in his own shirt. I just stood there. I just stood there talking to him. He said, what's wrong with your pants? Embarrassed. Ashamed. I said, brother, you didn't think God saw you smoking? I know your wife didn't see you down behind the house hiding in the bushes like a little kid. You ain't even man enough to smoke for your wife. I said, why are you smoking anyhow? You don't need to smoke. You don't need that. I know, preacher, but I got the habit. See, my dear family, now we're not smoking, all kind of fighting and all kind of stuff. But what is it that we're embarrassed about? What is it that we get caught at all the time? You know there are some homes, listen to this closer now, I'm going to help you. I'm fixing to quit. You know there are some homes that will never allow him in because they don't want him to see how they are. Preacher, I need to talk to you. Good, I'll be over tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock. No, I'll meet you at the church. Why? Because they're ashamed to have the man of God come in their house. They're ashamed to have the people of God get around them. They're ashamed of the way they live outside the house of God. Now, I'm just, Brother Fenton, I'm just ornery and rotten and ain't worth 2 cents. I told one of my men one time, I said, listen, I said, if it's good enough to chew tobacco outside the church, it's good enough to chew tobacco in here. Put it in your mouth. Pull it out of your back pocket, put your big plug inside of your jaw. So, preacher, good night. No, preacher, you can't chew tobacco in the house of God. I said, you can't. He said, no, that's disrespectful to God. I said, it is. He said, it sure is. He said, that ain't right. I said, are you sure? He said, I'm absolutely sure. You shouldn't chew tobacco in the house of God. Why would you even tell me to chew tobacco in the house of God, preacher? Because you're the house of God, brother.
Wow. Amen.
And what are you doing chewing tobacco? And he was embarrassed. Now, we ain't chewing tobacco in here rubbing snuff. Down the mountains, even my girls rub snuff. I told one poor girl, bless her heart, I said, child, if you don't quit rubbing that stuff, you ain't never going to get married. There ain't nobody going to lip lock you, child, all that junk in your mouth. She looked at me and said, I just married somebody that chews to. And she did. They had five of the finest looking babies you ever seen in their life. But see, it didn't embarrass her, and that's the problem with us sometimes. Our worldliness don't embarrass us no more like it used to. Used to be, we was ashamed to sin against our God. We knew it hurt His heart. We was ashamed to disobey our God because we knew that if we didn't get over that, then we couldn't go on in our Christian life.
Oh, that's good, brother.
That we could. We just got content with being stagnated and stopped. We got content with the algae on the pond. We used to love to get that all cleaned off. We'd get up there, we'd put the drain out, get all that junk cleaned off the pond so we could swim in that pond and coo out in the summertime. But now we're just content to look at it and say, well, the drain's plugged up. And spiritually seeking, my family, the Philippians text, the Apostle Paul told that church, he said, according to my earnest expectation, my hope, that in nothing shall be ashamed. Last one, 1 John 2. last one, 1 John 2. I got more, but let me just give you this last one. And happy Mother's Day. Go eat you some dinner. 1 John 2. The Apostle John in the 28th verse says these words. And now, little children, abide in him that when he shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed of him at his coming. Now, I don't want to hurt you now because I love you. But I want you to just stop for a minute. Close your Bible and stop for a minute. Just look at me while I give you just a couple more minutes of stuff. Then Mama's going to come sing. I want you to look at your traveling year. Is Jesus coming? This is yes, even in New York. Is Jesus coming?
Yes.
Are you going?
Yes.
Look at your traveling year. And I want you to sort your traveling gear. And I want you to discard that which is not necessary for the trip. Why? Because when we see Jesus, we don't want to be ashamed at His coming. You go on a vacation and you figure out, yay, nay. We might need that. Now we don't need it. Might need that. It might need that. Might need that. It's the wildest thing in the world to go somewhere because maybe, she'll take on a 5-day trip 8 dresses. 4 pair of shoes. We'll take the clothes we got on and a suit. We'll not mention the other stuff because that's personal. But I'm just telling you, that's how we do. And we'll wear same clothes. If we don't get them dirty, wear the same clothes and go to church in the suit, no matter where we're at. We're going to meet our God any second now. Revelation says it's coming with clouds. It's been cloudy for days. Has the clouds reminded you of rain or Jesus? We need to sort through our traveling gear and ask ourselves, do I need to take this with me? Do I need to take this with me? No, I don't need to. I don't need Jesus. I don't need to take that. And we need to whittle our trip down to the necessity. The necessity of our journey to Jesus. Look at me. The necessity of our journey to Jesus is holiness and love. All the other suitcases can be left behind. All the other baggage can be left behind. All the other stuff that we might need when we get there, we won't need. When we go out to meet our God, we ought not be ashamed. Timothy, yeah, Paul, be not ashamed of the Lord and me. As you go through the afflictions of the gospel, the first thing you better get your hands on is you don't want to be ashamed of God. Are ashamed of me who is trying to help you. And Paul begins to build Timothy in that realm. And we're going to do some more tonight and some more the rest of the week. And as we endeavor to put some things in your life and my life that will help build us, to make us stronger in Jesus, may we absorb this thing. May we go out of this room today unashamed of our God. Unashamed to confess before Him, God, I did sin. Isn't that what Adam did 6,000 years ago? I've been ashamed of you, Lord. I've been comfortable like this instead of being comfortable like this. I've been thinking more like this than thinking more like this. I've been ashamed, God. And I am ashamed. And God says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest from that shameful way of living. I want you to obey me. I want you to love me. Boy, the pastor's message today, God's still there. He still loves us. He still wants us. He yearns. He longs for you and I to not live a life of being ashamed every time something pops up. Oh, God, I'm guilty again. God says, why? You're a child of God. You're reading your Bible. You're in the house of God. Don't do it again. Don't stop. Just stop it. Come on. I'll forgive you. Come on, baby. If you don't come on, I'll preach all day. Well, I ain't preached a couple of days, so I'm full, okay? Nobody ducking their head, nobody looking around. Have you been ashamed of God lately? At work? At the store? At home? At school? No, I can't put my finger on nothing. Good. Praise the Lord. Have you been afraid of us? Are you afraid to be identified with us? Are you afraid to be a part of me, Brother Fenton, rest of the brothers in here? Does it embarrass you the way we preach? Come on, think a minute. Be honest. Does it embarrass you the way we preach? Does it embarrass you because we believe that God's people live holy and do right? It's not me, preacher. Don't embarrass me. Then why is it you live a different life outside this wall than you do inside this wall? Why do you live differently if you're not ashamed of this? Why not take this out there? Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Preacher, I'm guilty this morning. I'm embarrassed to do this, preacher. But I have been ashamed of God, and I have been ashamed of the men of God and the people of God. And I admit it with an upraised hand. Preacher, I raise my hand in guilt today. I have been ashamed of God, and I've been ashamed of the people of God. Pray for me. Who is it? God bless you, brother. Thank God for honest saints. God bless you, brother. Preacher, I've been ashamed. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you. I've been ashamed at work. I've not been victorious at work. I've been just kind of running under the radar, incognito, hoping nobody will ask me nothing, nobody will say nothing. Who else? Come on. I've been ashamed, preacher. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? I've been ashamed, preacher. God bless you, sister. I've been ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed, but I've been ashamed. I've been ashamed of God. I've been guilty of not being forthright with my Christianity. I've been kind of keeping it in my pocket so nobody knows. Preacher, God bless you, sister. Preacher, I've not been ashamed of God because I don't know God as my Savior. I don't have a fellowship with Jesus Christ. I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I'm not God's child, preacher. If you'd be willing to let me pray for you, raise your hand. Preacher, that's me today. I'm not God's child. I'll be honest with you, preacher. Thinking about Jesus coming scares me. If you raise your hand, I'll not call your name, I'll not come to you. I'll just remember your face in prayer. Would you raise your hand, preacher? I'm not saved and I realize it. God bless you, ma'am. Who else? Preacher, I'm not saved. Maybe that's why I don't do what I'm supposed to do for Jesus. Because I don't got no Jesus in me. Maybe that's why I don't want to live for God like everybody says I'm supposed to. Because I don't have no liver in me. Anybody else? Why don't you let somebody take a Bible and take you in a back room somewhere and just tell you again how it's supposed to be? Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing? Come. Pastor, I need a lady. I need a lady to help this lady. Take her somewhere, Sister Kathy. Take her somewhere. Back in the room someplace. Back in the office somewhere. Pray. 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 Preacher, I'm ashamed. Come on out of your seat then. Come on out of your seat. I've been ashamed of God. I've been ashamed of the people of God. I've been ashamed of the preacher. I've been embarrassed. Come on out of your seat. Come kneel before Jesus. Ask Him to help you not be ashamed no more. Ask Him to help you be bold and courageous in your Christian walk. Be strong in your Christian walk. There are days we all feel weak and frail, and there are moments in everybody's life where we're ashamed, guilty, embarrassed. Oh, God, give us strength to get over this. Give us strength, Lord, to be like Paul told Timothy. Don't be ashamed of the Lord or of me, His prisoner. Don't be ashamed, son. Anybody else need to come pray before Mama sings? That's it, sister. Come right on. Sing, Mama. They'll come while you sing.
He's like a river, he's flooding
come
my
soul. Come talk to your Savior about it.
Since Christ the Savior
we need boldness
has
in these
made
last days.
My life whole, sweet peace abiding my portion shall be. Jesus, my Savior, is precious to
troubled
me.
Troubled heart, come talk to us.
I love Thee,
I
Lord
see some
Jesus,
of this
with all of
don't
my
be ashamed.
Heart. I
preacher, I'm ashamed to admit that I'm lost. Don't
Jesus,
be ashamed of that. That's a first step towards getting saved.
With all of my heart, for dying on Calvary,
Timothy, yeah, Paul,
for giving me
don't be ashamed of the Lord or me.
I love
don't be ashamed
you,
of the Word of God.
Jesus,
don't be ashamed of the life God lets you live.
Of my heart,
get all the baggage out of your life before you meet Jesus.
Is abounding.
You do not want to meet
my
God with all this worldliness on you, and all this trash on you, and all this junk on you.
Heading toward heaven with eagle strong wings. Christ has redeemed me, my soul He set free. Jesus, my
Timothy,
Savior, is
yeah,
precious
preacher,
to me.
Be not ashamed of the Lord or of me as Christian.
The Lord Jesus.
Paul's building a man of God.
All of my heart.
He must have seen shame in Timothy.
I love
young Christian
the Lord
man.
Jesus, with
and he's endeavoring to get the shame out of him so he can be strong in the faith.
For dying
we'll deal with that sometime later on in the week.
For giving me
be not ashamed,
victory.
Timothy.
I love
be not ashamed.
The